CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, going exploring with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black. It's been a few weeks since we paid attention to OSIRIS-REx, the very, very successful probe, and Bennu's future possibilities. Bob, Bennu, remind everybody, what is Bennu and what is OSIRIS-REx? It's been a while since we talked about it.
Yeah, we should review this. OSIRIS-REx was a planetary probe the U.S. sent to the asteroid Bennu several years ago. It went, it did a touch-and-go grab, got a sample. It's on its way back to Earth right now to bring that sample to us. The spacecraft itself will actually be still in space after it turns the sample and it could go to another asteroid. But it went to Bennu. It spent about a year plus at Bennu flying in formation, doing a lot of reconnaissance, a lot of photography, a lot of spectroscopy, and it, of course, it got its sample. Well, while it was in flying in formation with Bennu, it could really get extremely good orbital data of the asteroid. And this asteroid, Bennu, is considered to be a potentially dangerous asteroid. Its orbit is such that it has the possibility in the future of hitting the Earth. The odds are not it's still relatively safe odds, but the chance is there. It could happen. And so when they got the data in orbit with Bennu, they were able to really refine those numbers. And I actually have posted and talked about on your show before when they were giving their conference reports on Bennu a few months ago. But this only is a confirmation. They published a paper confirming the fact that the chances of Bennu hitting the Earth at its most significant flyby, which is September 24th, 2182, so that's more than 160 years from now, is 1 in 2,700. That's the worst particular thing. And then the probability of it hitting the Earth through the year 2300 is a little worse. It's 1 in 1750. So no, there is a chance before the year 2300, 200 years into the future, that this thing could hit us. And I got my years wrong. 60 years in the future, it has a 1 in 2,700 chance of hitting us. So young people today should pay attention to this because we got to keep tracking this thing. It could be a danger.
Bob, let us remind everybody what a near-Earth object is and why we track them. It's because we've been hit before and we can reasonably expect that we'll be hit again.
We will be hit again. I wouldn't even qualify it, John. It's just, it's part of the solar system. There are objects out there. Near-Earth objects are asteroids that are in orbits that bring them close to the Earth. Some of them are in orbits that will never touch the Earth, even though they're comparable to the Earth's orbit, but many are actually ones that could potentially hit the Earth. And asteroid orbits are chaotic. You really cannot predict those orbits. The object is so light that even the light from the sun hitting one side and not the other can shift the orbits. And so to calculate precisely asteroid orbits is very, very difficult. And so that's one of the reasons that they're giving percentages here and odds, because until you get close to the moment that you're predicting, your prediction is going to have a gigantic amount of uncertainty.
Yeah, the way to put this is the odds are still slim, but they ain't zero. And so pay attention.
Yeah.
All right, go to China. China has a better idea, which is an old idea. They're going to do an asteroid sample. Good for them, Bob.
Yeah. Basically, they have now made it clear, their scientists have revealed, that they are building an asteroid sample mission to launch in 24 and grab samples from an asteroid, a near-Earth asteroid, in 25. And they have also revealed that they have looked at the methods used for both Hayabusa 2 and OSIRIS-REx, which was basically what they call touch-and-go. Because they're rubble-pile asteroids, it's very difficult to land on them and grab something. So instead, what they do is you touch quickly, you grab something for a quick few minutes in the debris that gets thrown about, and then you'll get away quickly because you don't want to get damaged. And that's what both Hayabusa 2 and OSIRIS-REx did. The Chinese say they're going to do that on this mission, but they're also going to attempt to do what would be a, quote, a more traditional idea, which is anchor and attach. An anchor and attach, they say they're going to try to do this, but I have my doubts. They're going to try to attach to the asteroid as well and then grab material more precisely. Now, that is a better method. You'll get more precise material and from a more precise location, but we know very little about rubble pile asteroids, and the experience that both OSIRIS-REx and Hayabusa 2 had is that just touching these things sends debris everywhere. So I don't know how you can anchor to one, but the Chinese say they're going to give it a try, and so we'll find out in a couple of years if it's, they're really going to succeed in this, John. I give them credit. If they do it, it will be an audacious attempt without any question.
Now, China's program is not transparent, and oftentimes it can be frustrating. However, Bob is going to report what the little we do know about a lunar lander, a manned lunar lander.
Well, we don't know anything. I mean, if this is going, it's like the asteroid mission. It's going to launch in 24, and this is really the first time we've heard anything real about it. Well, so there was a report that they were from China that gave some tantalizing hints about their plans to build a manned lunar launcher. It appears in this news report that they have named the chief of the program and his assistants and subordinates. So they've named some specific people to run the program to build the lunar lander, but the lander itself. But no details of the landers have been provided, which tells me in their secrecy that, yes, they've decided they're going to have this project and they've got the people in charge of building it, but they have not made a decision on the design. I guess they need to spend some more time hacking into JPL's computers or maybe SpaceX.
Detail is important here. This can be an explanation why they oppose the Artemis Accords. Why is that, Bob?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. This is absolutely one of the reasons. One of the Artemis Accords requirements, this is not the primary reason, but one of the main Artemis Accords requirements is that you have transparency in your program. You tell everybody well in advance what you're doing and what you plan to do. You don't have to give away proprietary information, but your plans, your general plans have to be revealed, and the Chinese don't want to do that. They keep it quiet.
All right. Finally, Betelgeuse. One more explanation for why it's been blinking on and off.
Yeah, this is actually, once again, the data is too weak to become, to have this mystery solved. But when Betelgeuse became dim for almost a period of a year and 20, there's a lot of reasons why. Well, another scientist's paper suggests that it dimmed because it had large dark spots, cold, relatively cold dark spots on its surface. And that's what caused it to dim. Now, this data doesn't really conflict with previous theories, which said it was a combination of a dark spot and an intervening dust that caused the dimming. This just says it's the dark spot. All it means is that we have a set of explanations that all might work, and they seem to be linked somewhat, but we really don't know yet. We don't have enough information, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob, the detail that I like best about the Chinese probing asteroids is the more information we have about the asteroids, the better. I understand the program's not transparent, but it's good to launch these missions. They are elaborate, and it requires a lot of discipline, and it takes years. And so I want to be positive about that report.
Yeah, I agree.
Bob,
the knowledge is needed.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps – and we'll have all of it by the time – Ben, who comes back to give us a bad afternoon. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Besh.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.